Now we have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson with us here on the morning show. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are dealing with a number of thorny national and foreign policy issues ahead of their target adjournment in December. And U.S. Senator Ron Johnson chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. How are you doing?
Doing well. Let's start with Russia. Last month, you were denied a visa to enter Russia as part of a bipartisan delegation. And meanwhile, President Trump was seeking to readmit Russia into the G7, the group of seven industrialized nations. What should be our country's foreign policy goals right now with Russia?
Well, first of all, we need to recognize what a tragedy of historic proportions it has been that Vladimir Putin has put Russia and its government and its people on this path. Just think how different the world would look, you know, really how more successful Russia would be if they had fully integrated into the Western economies, embraced, you know, true democracy, pluralism. Now, the world would be a much better place. But Vladimir Putin is, hungry on power, and the way he maintains his power is through destabilizing the former Soviet nations and other nations in the Soviet Union sphere of influence so that they are not economically successful. That is how he maintains his power. The worst thing for him is if Russians would see a different economic system work better than what theirs is performing right now.
What were you?
To understand exactly who he is and the aggressions he is fomenting around certainly the region and the world.
What were you trying to accomplish to be able to go to Russia in August?
Well, as chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on European Relations, as part of the Foreign Relations Committee, Ambassador Huntsman, when he took over that post, reached out to me and has been trying to set up congressional to parliamentary exchanges so we can start the dialogue. You know, at some point in time, Putin will be out of power. And you know, it is good to have dialogue. It's good to understand each other's perspectives. So we tried this in December 2017. They played games that wouldn't allow my ranking member, Senator Jean Shaheen, her entry in there. I was allowed into Moscow in July of 2018, and then I was going to go with another bipartisan delegation, and they, you know, continue this game playing. I don't see why they think there's any benefit to that whatsoever. You know, I'm always going to speak the truth. I've been speaking honestly about Russia even when they did let me in. So, again, I call it a petty affront. They're just playing games.
Well, after federal investigations found Russia meddling in the 2016 elections, do you see a need for our government to boost election security ahead of 2020?
Well, first of all, we need to realize that both under the Obama administration and under the current administration, DHS, who is primarily tasked with problem, you know, trying to deal with that, has actually done a pretty good job. And it's primarily about, first of all, highlighting it. Our first line of defense on any kind of cyber attack is just awareness of it. And so they've certainly made state and different election officials aware of this. They've gone through a fair amount of security clearances so that we can transfer classified information to election officials. I think people have hardened their firewalls to prevent Russian interference. But people need to understand it's almost impossible to change vote tallies other than through election fraud. In terms of election files, to me, that's probably the greatest risk to our election system. And then you just have the whole social media interference. That's been going on forever. It's just a different means now. I mean, Russia has always tried to interfere in our internal politics. That'll continue to go on. I think social media companies have done a pretty good job of taking down some of the sites they developed. And when you do that, that really moves an awful lot of the work they've, have done in terms of developing the number of people on those sites. So
well, let's,
we certainly are attacking and taking it seriously.
Let's pause right there. Don't go anywhere. Talking national news with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, international news as well. Your thoughts. What do you think should be our country's foreign policy goals with Russia, with China? Join in. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on the line with us here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about a number of national and international policy issues with your questions front and center at 800-642-1234. What do you think should be our country's foreign policy goals with Russia, with China, And what do you make of Iran? What are you watching for when it comes to our economy here in the U.S.? What should Senator Johnson know as lawmakers weigh legislation on Capitol Hill? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org, and Senator Johnson stays with us. Let's look at Iran. Tensions rising between the U.S. as we saw the flashpoint this weekend. The Trump administration says Iran appears responsible for attacks on the Saudi Arabian oil field. While Iran is denying this, the president has really amped up the rhetoric, locked and loaded, he said in a tweet. What do we know about our response here? Is a military response warranted right now?
Well, first of all, I've looked at the intelligence. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. I'm not quite sure why we classify so much of this information. My guess is we'll completely verify it, and then I hope we make it public. So it is as clear as it is, I think, currently to me, I think, as it was to Secretary Pompeo, that Iran was responsible for this attack. And we need to understand exactly how Iran is threatening the region and, quite honestly, world stability here. The Iranian agreement was an awful deal. We pumped more than $100 billion into the economy and military of the world's greatest state sponsor, terror. They haven't backed off. I mean, I know President Obama's trying to change their behavior. It's changed. It's changed for the worse. So Iran is a growing threat. It's a growing menace. And we do need to stop them before they actually become a nuclear power.
So is it military force against Iran? Is it looking at its proxies in Iraq or Yemen? Or is it some kind of combination or basically no retaliatory attacks? Where do you fall down on that?
I think you need to keep all options on the table. I do not believe we can allow Iran to become a nuclear power. Their behavior is so egregious, it is so menacing, that they are like almost the last power in the world that I'd want to see have nuclear weapons. So that's something we have to deny them, and that may require military action.
Let's move on to China here for a moment. You disagree with President Trump's trade war as an effective strategy. You've said trade wars, nobody wins. There is no winning a trade war. So what should our country be doing differently to address your concerns with China?
Well, first of all, as many farmers and manufacturers in Wisconsin who are being hurt by the trade war, we all agree with what President Trump is trying to do. China is the abuser of the world trading regime. They're not following the rules. They're stealing hundreds of billions of dollars of our intellectual property and use that intellectual property to outcompete us in some areas, leapfrog ahead of us in technologically in some cases. So I think from my standpoint, my disagreement is, engaging in trade wars across the world, what we should be doing, and first thing we should do is ratify the USMCA. I'm calling on Wisconsin's Democratic congressional delegation to put pressure on Nancy Pelosi to bring up USMCA so we can ratify that one, put that behind us. If we could be a united front against China, demanding that they stop stealing our intellectual property and comply with the World Trading Organization rules, that'd probably be, from my standpoint, the best approach. I don't believe anybody wins a trade war. I do believe that China is paying the highest price. It is definitely affecting their economy far more than it is ours. So from that standpoint, if it's a relative thing, yeah, we're winning that one, but it still harms our economy. It creates instability. So again, the problem is China has a different type of political system, and they can withstand the pain politically probably longer than we can.
Well, speaking of the economy, there's new Moody's analytics numbers out saying that this trade war is causing 300,000 fewer jobs being created in the U.S. By year end, it could be 450,000. Are you seeing a tipping point in this trade war?
Well, first of all, we have record low unemployment just overall, but also if we're not at record lows, we're near record lows unemployment in the African-American community, the Hispanic community. So we still have a very strong economy. My concern is the uncertainty, the instability, and the metric I'm looking at is the growth in business investment, which was sky high after President Trump stopped adding to a regulatory burden, signed a more competitive tax system. The instability of the trade war has shaken people's confidence, and we actually had a negative growth in business investment. That's really what you need for long-term economic growth. So that's, to me, the alarm bell that's going off that I know the Trump administration is aware of. again, it is hard to get China into compliance. This president is very serious about it. I appreciate the fact that he's very serious about making China comply. This is a high-stakes poker game here, basically. Who's going to blink first? Again, China is being harmed far more than the American economy, but we're not exactly going unscathed.
Are Wisconsin farmers running out of patience?
Probably. They're nearing their end of patience. But, again, I have been very surprised at how patient not only Wisconsin farmers but also manufacturers have been, because they understand that we have not been treated fairly, that we have been generous, magnanimous in terms of opening up our markets to the world, and we've been taken advantage of. And they actually support President Trump's goal of hopefully a zero tariff world, but also free, fair, and reciprocal trade.
Talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, he's a Republican representing Wisconsin. Your questions, your insights as well at 800-642-1234. What are you watching when it comes to the economy? What should Senator Johnson know as lawmakers weigh legislation? What questions do you have for the senator? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Senator, over the weekend, you voiced concerns that President Trump banning flavored e-cigarettes could be an overreaction. How should the government address vaping, which is being blamed for 6 deaths? We're seeing hundreds of lung injuries in dozens of states and even here in Wisconsin.
So we first really need to investigate and find out what the cause of all these illnesses are. Initial reports are they're probably related to illegal vaping cartridges filled with THC, and those things are cut with oils, the lipids that don't completely combust, and that's what's causing the problem. I'm not aware yet of any evidence of a legal vaping product causing these illnesses. So we also need to understand how valuable vaping products are in terms of helping people quit an even more dangerous habit, which is cigarette smoking. The Royal Academy of Physicians in London years ago came out with a study said that vaping was 95% safer than cigarettes. So, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. We do need to take these illnesses seriously. But I think we're seeing is kind of a confluence of the effort to legalize marijuana, which has made THC oil, even in states where it's illegal, like Wisconsin, very available. We just had that case of the two brothers in Racine that were raided and filling up 3,000 cartridges a day at a tune of about $35 to $40. I mean, a highly profitable enterprise. I mean, that's a combination of, these vaping cartridges combined with the legalization of marijuana, making those oils available. So, we got a real problem on our hands here. I appreciate the FDA taking the addictive nature of vaping products, and we certainly should not be allowing marketing to young people and encouraging that. And I think the vaping industry has some explaining to do in terms of why so many teens are becoming addicted to a highly addictive product, which is nicotine.
Two Republican congressmen are heading out the door, as you know, as we look to Capitol Hill, Sean Duffy, Jim Sensenbrenner as well. Are you concerned about Republicans retaining those seats?
Not really. I think both of those cases had involved just health and just, Jim has served his country well for 40 years. I know his wife had a very serious stroke. He has a well-deserved retirement in front of him. So, both of those districts have been very solidly Republican, particularly up in Jim's district, but up in the 7th, where Sean has done a great job of solidifying that district. So, again, they're not leaving Congress because of anything happening here in Washington, D.C. It's really to do with personal reasons.
So let's look at the federal government's next budget deadline, September 30th, end of the month. Do you see House Democrats and Senate Republicans working together to avoid another government shutdown?
Right now, the signs aren't very good. We're going to be taking a test vote on, I think we're going to bring up the defense appropriation bill. And what we're hearing, it's not very positive, that the Democrats do not really want a regular order type of appropriation process, which is why I've been pushing for months now the Prevent Government Shutdown Act, which I took up in front of my committee. Even though we don't have full jurisdiction, we crafted a bill that would be before a committee. We added on an automatic appropriation to do what we do in Wisconsin. If dysfunction in government doesn't allow for the passing of appropriation bills in Wisconsin. We don't shut down government. We just fund those government agencies at last year's levels.
Very quickly.
We do the same thing in the government, and I'm pushing that bill.
Very quickly, how long might we be for the next continuing resolution if we put this forward, push it forward?
Well, hopefully what we would do is pass the Preventing Government Shutdown Act, which we passed our committee 12-2. Every Democrat voted for it. The only two Republicans voted against it were the ones that had competing bills. So that's what I'm putting pressure on Senate leadership to bring up and pass. It's be pretty hard for any member to vote against a bill that would prevent government shutdowns.
Senator Johnson, thank you so much for your time.
Have a great day.
Ron Johnson is a Republican representing Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. Just ahead, thousands of auto workers are on strike at General Motors. We'll look at labor issues and how the strike came to be and its impact in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.